Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Into the Neuroverse presents
Sort Your Brain Out. Baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. And let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out. Lady, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. Don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, sort your brain out, mate.
Hello, and welcome to Into the Neuroverse. This is a special Sort Your Brain Out episode with my dear friend. We've only met once, but I think he's probably one of my favourite friends. I don't even know if we're friends, but he's just one of my favourite people. And that's George Lewis. Me and Jamie are about to chat to him. We're recording this after we chatted to him. And it was fun, wasn't it, Jamie?
It was, although incredibly confusing because we've just done the outro and now we're doing the intro. So
my head is absolute spaghetti right now.
Absolutely.
Is there a nice thing you can say, Jamie? Because I feel like, not about me, but just like, is there an interesting thing you've got to say about your day or since we last heard from you? Just because Jamie does not get a word in edgeways this time, bless him.
I did sideline a little bit. What have I done?
But he was quite happy to, weren't you, Jamie? He was very happy.
Absolutely.
No, yes. Know. Basically, I'm in Cardiff, as per, we're in a travelodge right now. I thought, very classic ADHD thing, I thought I can walk around the castle grounds, which I know quite well, because I know Cardiff quite well. I've got 20 minutes, then my phone died. I did do it in 20 minutes, but of course I hadn't factored in the fact that my travelodge was then a further 30 minutes from the castle. So 50 minutes or whatever. That is. So that's why I ended up so badly late. Classic bit of ADHD there. Have you got anything you'd like to talk about? And then I tell you a very long story. No, I'm just saying the reason why I was late for this recording, I wanted to have a full, a thick, fat hour with George Lewis, as they say. That's the show we're going to launch, a thick, fat hour with George and Colin. But I wanted to really get in there, talk about lots of stuff, which we did in a very brief way, which was good. But I didn't get that hour because I walked Cardiff Castle. I knew I had 20 minutes. I could do that in 20 minutes, but I hadn't factored in the fact that it was still 30 minutes from Cardiff Castle back to my travel lodge. That's not even including setting up, putting my microphone in, having a wee, having a tea. Do you know what I mean? So I fucked
things
up.
You've got to do.
I fucked up.
Yeah. It's all gone wrong.
But then we
had a lovely time.
We had a lovely time and we'll crack on with that in a sec. But anything you want to tell us, Jamie, any nice things you got, any observations you've had or?
Well, while we were talking about noodle scratches, I went to see Poor Things yesterday.
Okay.
Which is a real piece of work.
For people
familiar with The Lobster and various other of his previous, this is even wackier. But very much enjoyed.
I liked it a lot.
But you've seen it as well. That's fortunate.
I went on quite a journey with it. First of all, I thought, this could still be the case. It's not really a spoiler, I don't think. But I thought, as we talked about before, being a huge Frankenstein fan, I thought it literally was. I went in thinking she was the Bride of Frankenstein, and then it started. And then I thought the person who brings her to life, the scientist, was meant to be Frankenstein's monster. I don't know whether that's the case or not, but I'm just going to go as if it is. But anyway, that's not really relevant. But the point, where was the, because I was, I liked it or not. I wasn't sure I agreed with it or not in some ways, because in some ways you're a bit like, this is very much a bloke writing about a woman and there's loads of sexy stuff, basically.
There's quite a lot of sexy stuff.
It's a lot of sex. You know what I mean? And I don't know. And in a way, I was like, I keep meaning, because me and my wife watched it. She wasn't that mad on it. She liked it. But she liked it a lot, but she wasn't that mad on it. And I want to sort of talk to her about that. But where was the point? The point where I really started to go, this is something special, is when she sees the poor people or the starving people, and she realizes she's... So in a nutshell, she, without spoiling it, she's someone... But imagine it is like Frankenstein brought to life, and then they've just got to kind of live their life and enter the world. And it's like that drama. Did you ever do the drama exercise where you're Frankenstein? Did you ever do that? And then you wake up and it's like you're experiencing the world for the first time. So it's, did you ever do that? Good fun. Good fun.
Really good. Try it now,
you have to lie there completely, like as if you're dead. And then this guy, I can't remember which drama teacher it was, one of my many mad drama teachers. And he like whacked a big stick on a desk to be the lightning, you know, so you kind of go, it really shakes you up, and then you get up, you have to kind of experience as if you've never moved or seen, or anyway, it's kind of like that. But she experienced, so it sort of slowly unveils the layers of society, and is the point where it gets to the realization that we're all kind of living off other people starving, basically. We have privilege, other people have nothing, so we can have everything.
I think I was talking to my partner about it and saying that I didn't like that bit so much, because actually they were running down a big staircase and it had no handrail, and that really bothered me. It's very stressful. Didn't like that. But yeah, it's the sort of the message of the film is almost like it's that phrase, you know, if it hadn't been invented, if it wasn't a thing already, you wouldn't invent it. And like poverty and you know, capitalism is basically something that when you're new to the world and viewing everything fresh, you go, this is a crazy system. Who would have thought that this would work? This is monstrous.
None of this is in this week's episode, by the way. So, but just while we're having a chat, I listened to, I think I mentioned it before, Naomi Klein's Doppelganger. Did I talk about that to you last
time? Yes.
And I still listen to it in the car drive here. And she gets into that point where you're just talking about the fact, you know, from America's point of view, she's Canadian, but from the Americas, so including Canada, everything is built on genocide. Their whole world is built on a massive genocide. And it's, you know what I mean? And
coming to terms with that is kind of tricky.
Yeah.
Yes. I just realized We did discuss Naomi Klein's book, but it was a conversation between us and not on a podcast. So if you did want to elaborate on it, then we should go ahead.
Okay. Well, all I'll say is to you, the lovely listeners, go listen to Naomi Klein's book, or read it if you want to be old fashioned, and go see Poor Things. There are two recommendations from us. Agreed, Jamie?
Yes, absolutely.
Agreed. But that's not what this show is about. This show, I realized I haven't mentioned, for if you're a new listener, is about neurodiversity and everything to do with brains and thinking and stuff. We are not psychologists. We don't know what we're talking about. But I am ADHD and I believe autistic, and I'm on a journey of discovery with all that, along with my lovely Mr. Tumnus friend, Jamie here, who is, we believe, neurotypical as far as we can tell. And the plan is we discuss different elements. Like this month, we talked about gratitude, friendship, and getting derailed in your train of thought. And then at the end, we chat to someone whose opinion I think is interesting or good, or I would like to emulate it. Well, that's all part of the discussion, isn't it? Should as neurotypical people adopt the things of other, should as neurodiverse people adopt the things of neurotypical people, or do we just be ourselves? Or is it some sort of happy mixture of the two is what we discuss. Isn't it, Jamie?
I can't add too much more to that. Yeah, that's exactly what we discuss.
I brought you on to do the job of doing all that bit, and then I just...
But you're doing it so well.
Having you here, Jamie, it makes everything so much better.
It's good to body double.
I'm just gonna
go find someone else and body triple.
Yeah, you must. We do, George Lewis. And here he comes. Get ready for George Lewis, brilliant comedian, Instagram. I don't know if he's an influencer, but he should bloody be. Influences me, God's sake. And he's certainly an Instagram legend, shall we say. And he's written a book. He's written a couple of books, hasn't he?
I believe so.
And they were really good. I haven't read them, but I'm going to.
Lovely. Me either. They're on the list.
What a dreadful introduction. Anyway, don't forget, if you want to support us, go to patreon.com/Colin Holt. And if you want to follow me, go to iamcolinholt.com for all my gigs and stuff. And follow us on Colin Holt Comedy on Instagram. And we'll chat to you after. Enjoy a bit of George Lewis. Here we are. Here he is with Sort Your Brain Out.
Sort your brain out, mate.
Hi, mate.
Hello, mate. Hello. Oh, look at that.
Hello.
Look at that. Oh, my friend Jamie's joining us. I'm literally, I've got a kettle next to your head now. Can you hear me all right?
Oh,
I've got
yeah,
a kettle boiling away with some delicious Travel Lodge coffee and milk in little packets. Delicious.
Whereabouts
little packets.
In the country, are you?
I'm in Cardiff Glee.
Oh, mate, that's the last time I saw you.
Is that the last time I saw you? I was thinking that. I realised that. I said, when did I see George? And that was when?
That's funny, that, because I was thinking that. And I was when you said Travelodge, that's exactly where I pictured. Because
right.
Yeah, I've got that coming up in a few weeks. And I thought, so it must be around the time that...
Yeah. Is that the only time I've actually seen you in live in person? Because I feel like I see you all the time, which is really weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
We barely know each other. And someone you don't know at all. This is Jamie. I assume you know him.
Hello.
This is Jamie.
Hi.
He's my neurotypical pal who comes on this show with me.
Perfect.
And I don't know if you've ever heard the show. Don't worry if you haven't. But it used to be that I thought it'd be a good idea for me to just like write a whole like essay every week and do like a speech and record it.
Good. Yes.
Sort of improvised. I think that's easy. You know, very ADHD thing. I was like, yeah, I can do that every week. What's the worst that's going to happen? And I almost died, obviously. And then so Jamie's come on board to instead make it a bit more of a casual chat about such
yes,
things.
Yes, good, good, good.
But yeah, lovely to see you, George.
Yeah, nice to be here.
It
nice
really
to be
is.
Here, mate.
Yeah. Is it sounding all right and everything? Because I'm in the Travel Lodge in Cardiff.
It sounds good to me, mate. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Fine.
Do you want to say
crouched at the side of the bed?
Yeah.
It's the only place I've got Wi-Fi at the moment.
Oh, I thought I was like, I'm here with like various. Every time I come into a hotel room, I like say to myself, I've got to just somehow. I'm only here for one night, and somehow just keep everything in a reasonable order.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm here for like I'm not here. I got in at like. Well, I got here obviously late. Ran to the gig. Did the gig. So
yeah.
I've only been here a very short amount of time, and it's a bloody bomb sign, George. It really
I hate
is.
That. I hate that because it feels like I do that in a hotel room and I think, oh God, this is the real you, isn't it? Like, I always think when at home, my home's fairly tidy and I like to I fool myself into thinking that's me. That's partly, you know, the way I do things, but it's obviously not. It's my wife. And when I'm in a hotel room, I'm like, oh Jesus, is this you?
Yeah, this is who you really are, isn't it? It's horrible. Yeah. Everything exposed. But, gross. Just kicked a bin. There's a lot of bins under this desk for some reason. The travel lodge are really picking it. They've got their recycling bin and their other bin. I suspect everything goes in the same bin. I don't know. I'm not trying to badmouth them, but so this is Jamie George. Hello, Jamie. Say hello to Jack.
Hello, Jamie.
Hiya, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, Jim.
I mean, partly the existence of this podcast is because I don't know how to exist or speak or behave. And I think that just came across. I just said, that's Jamie. Again, say hello to George, Jamie. And then I said, hello, Jamie. So it didn't, like, none of that sequence was helpful to anyone. But Jamie, you ever been to a travel lodge, Jamie?
I have, yeah. Strong recommend, yeah.
Strongly recommend. It's better than I thought it was going to be. I find that's very stingy, though, isn't it? £3 for the Wi-Fi.
Oh, yes. Loose stadium in London, it was like, not doing it on principle.
You can have Wi-Fi, but you'll have to pay £3 for it, I'm afraid. It's not nice. It's not the way to behave, Travel Lodge. Anyway, it's very backwards. So we don't have you for long, George, so I want to get right in there, if that's all right. We're really...
Please do.
We're really going to dig deep into your psyche.
Go for
it's going
it,
to be very
please.
Casual. First of all, just because I literally did a gig here at Glee last night, it's very nice, and it's quite exciting for me because it's the first time I've been doing myself... Again, strange way of explaining things. I've been performing as myself, as a stand-up, as opposed to a character
right.
for the last year or so, since less than that, probably, actually. But And it's going very well. But this was where I felt like it was a first proper gig. Yeah. Basically, they kept trying to get me to do Anna-Man, and I kept refusing, and finally they gave it. What I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was really good. But it was like that feeling of come away a bit like, I think that was all right. Do you know what I mean? Because it was one of those audiences, like, they were perfectly nice, but you couldn't quite tell if you'd really done well or not. Do you know what I mean? Because they
I feel like that. At Cardiff Glee, you don't really, it's only when you maybe a couple of weeks later you reflect on it and you can decide how it went. But that must be strange for you because, I think I've only ever seen you perform as Anna-Man and always been blown away. But I guess this is the problem for you. That is such a good and successful character. It's hard for you to step away from it, but it's also hard for other people to accept you stepping away.
Very hard. And it's a weird... it's a very weird thing. Sorry, I'm just putting my little voice shield, which I realised I forgot to put on. Voice shield? That's not what it's called, is it? Popping shield. Fuck. Okay, I mean, this is really peeking behind the curtain now, isn't it? But I'm just going to hold it even because I can't be bothered. But, it is. And genuinely, I got into the point with Anna where it was like she was like another person to me. And that sounds very... actory or whatever, and perhaps arrogant, but genuinely, I it was her getting the accolades, not me. You know what I mean? It really did feel like that, like this character. Oh yeah, everyone loves her. Do you know what I mean?
That's bitter about her. Yeah, I can totally understand that because that not that I ever do a character, but on a much much smaller level. But it does still affect things. In when I started out stand up, I changed my name. I used my middle name as my surname.
Right.
Lewis is actually my middle name.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
It's always been that way. But now if I ever achieve something or ever see my name in credits, it doesn't quite feel like it's me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's not that little boy dreaming in his bedroom, you know.
It's just but obviously yours is more understandable.
More extreme.
Yeah.
And it still leaves me. And again, you know, tying into the point of this podcast and into the whole neurodiversity thing, which I'm talking a bit about on stage, but it is definitely this journey I've been on of accepting myself and all that, you know, even as a 45-year-old dad, I feel very weird saying things like accepting my truth and all that kind of thing. But it is like kind of, and then there's that horrible exposure where it's like, if you go out as Anna and she says some sort of mad shit, but everyone's like, oh, but she's mad and stupid and she's a character.
Yeah.
Go out and say it, and they're like, oh, that's what he thinks. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm really enjoying doing some very on the line stuff about bisexuality and stuff. And I'm like, as Anna, you could just say anything. And now they're like, oh, okay, mate, right, all right. You know what I mean? It's just quite all right. No. What I mean is, you know.
yeah, exactly.
But it's quite fascinating that. But I sort of want everything to be true. So everything I'm saying is very, you know, like Greg Davies is a big inspiration for me, the way he does real stories and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to bend it a bit but you don't want to be there going, oh, by the way, that bit was true. But obviously I don't actually think that about women or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of anti-women stuff in there, George. Again, quite heated.
I've heard, yeah. People have been saying, yeah.
I am treading the line. I really am. I'm pushing the envelope. I really am. So anyway, God, before I waffle off on a load of bullshit, but that was interesting. And did you become a stand-up before you did? Because obviously you're well known for your Instagram videos, which I love. I think that's why I feel I see you every day, because I do genuinely watch you all the time. Are they just the right tone? Just the right level where it's kind of like genuinely funny, but also broad and relevant? Do you know what I mean? Like there's quite a lot of stuff that's like... where people are just doing stuff about, you know, when your mum's like, blah, 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 and you're like, but it's not actually particularly clever or funny, whereas yours always has a genuinely brilliant take on it.
Thank you. That means a lot because, that is sometimes the thing that I have to keep reassessing is because it's very easy when you're doing stuff on Instagram. If things are popular, you do more of that thing. But definitely with, obviously, I at least half of the stuff I do is parenting stuff. And you can get a lot of like traction by just doing an observation without even making it funny. Do you know what I mean? Just doing an obvious. So there is a danger sometimes that you can accidentally go too broad because, and then you've not checked yourself. So I think the key is to always try and at least put a bit of a twist or do it in the performance or something like that. So it's actually, I've done some work other than just going, oh, all parents do this and that's it. You know?
Yeah. But I mean, that's a skill in itself to find something that people recognize, isn't it? And sort of like,
I say stuff
like that and I go, do you know what I mean? When it's like, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, no, because we don't have your weird brain, mate. We don't, none of us think like that, mate.
Yeah.
Although saying that, I am surprised at how much does when I do stand-up. So I talk a lot about, I've got this thing which takes me ages to, I think he's all right, and I still need to sit down and have a chat with her. But I talk about how my mum, when I was a kid, used to walk around just going, isn't it awful? Oh, isn't it awful? And then sometimes she'd go, might as well be dead. And it's like, fuck it, might as well be dead. And I talk about how this was just what you heard, like day to day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's just her. I think it's quite a Nottingham's type thing to just go, oh, might as well be dead. You know, yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
But I thought saying that, everyone would be like, you know, no one would be able to relate to that, or everyone would be like, mate, that's really dark. You can't say that. That's actually really upsetting. But loads of people are like, oh, yeah, I know. And I think people just relate themselves as well. They fill in the gaps sometimes, which is quite nice.
Absolutely. And there is such a nice feeling in that, isn't there? Because I never really did out-and-out observational stand-up, but when I was doing stand-up before I started doing like videos and things like that. So I never even knew that this feeling existed. But of you sharing something that happens to you and loads of people by either laughing or interacting with your video saying, oh, me too. And you think it's such a nice feeling, isn't it?
Because it's going, wonderful.
Oh, cool. We all think that thing. Or, you know, it just feels nice in a different way to just laughter.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Because there's the sort of, oh, we're getting more into comedy now, but I guess there's the sort of comedian yeah. as kind of freak and weirdo who's sort of doing the clown, I guess. Yeah. And then there's kind of the guy who's, you know, to do the Steve Coogan thing where he used to go, have you ever an artist? You know, that character he used to do. Have you ever an artist? Yeah. There's that kind of, and I guess ideally you want to have both, don't you really? Kind of.
Absolutely, yeah.
I love the January one you did. It was amazing, George. That was so good. About January, going from December, when you're in December.
Oh, the work stuff, like going back
I think I just need a month off, to be honest, to sort my head out. And just the break will sort me out. And then just the January, it's like, what have I fucking done? I've got so much work to do. I've got so, you
know. Oh, man. Yeah,
but that was it's funny because I felt that is something that is quite, I guess you could see as a fairly easy observation, potentially. I mean, I you know, if you wanted to. But actually, for me, that sort of transcended into like a point where genuinely I was like finding it quite helpful in life. Do you know what I mean? Just the stuff you were saying, it was kind of really making me go, it's all right, mate. It's all right. Everyone's the same. It was genuinely quite a sort of psychologically helpful little video, I thought.
Oh, so that's amazing. Gosh. Because that's that I remember doing, thinking about that one. And I've had that thought in my head for years when I used to have a proper job. I used to remember in December, everyone going, and me, myself going, oh, we'll do it, sort it next year, sort it. And every single year in January, you go, what a stupid idiot I was back then. How did I not realise that?
You just think money will just come, do you know what I mean?
Exactly. It's two weeks later.
Jesus Christ, we went through our budget. We did a budget. We just had to do a budget. And it's quite, I've never done that in my life. And then just the last year, we've started making ourselves sit down and go, right, how much did we spend? And it's just disgusting. And nothing to show for it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have fun, but it wasn't that much fun. It wasn't as good as a holiday. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we did that last month. We did exactly that. We did a budget and worked out just over the last 3 months. And it was horrifying because I was like, how can we sustain this? And my wife was like, well, you know, that's like, we did have Christmas there. But I think, every 3 months you've got something, haven't you? You've got a holiday or you've got. So I'm like, no, this is seriously how much we're.
Yeah, we were just like, oh, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Because, Christmas at the moment, it's like, right, it's your birthday this month.
Yeah.
My son's birthday next month. And then we're going on holiday the month after that. So it's like, we're not. It's just Christmas every month.
Yeah, this is
in a bad position. And I mean, I say that from the privileged point of view that we had a load of fucking money to spend. You know what I mean? It's like, some people didn't have anything, mate. But Still, yeah. Oh my god. Anyway, Jamie, this is Jamie, by the way. Say hello, Jamie.
Hello, hello, Jamie.
So he's used to not getting a word in, aren't you, buddy?
No, that's fine. Yeah.
How was your Christmas? Because it's just the two of you, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I was going to say. I mean, were you able to
spend £500 or something?
You've got like two children each, haven't you? So that's the massive drain on you. I'm rolling around in money.
I've got three now.
Three?
Yeah.
How old's the?
Was that in your budget?
He was not in any kind of forward planning. No, he's 9 months old. The youngest.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, yeah. Mate, I want another one though. It's mad though, isn't it? I was talking to Lily Phillips.
Yeah.
She just had a baby and she's doing some very good stuff about it, actually, stand-up stuff. But she was, because she's, you know, I think it's all right for her to say this because she did it on stage, but she's finding stuff quite hard, you know.
Yeah.
And she was like, why do you do another one? Why? I can't understand. Can you explain to me why you do it again?
Yeah.
And I genuinely think there's an evolutionary thing kicks in about 18 months afterwards where you're like, you've just forgotten. Somehow it's like your brain resets.
Yeah.
But wonderful though it is to have kids, just how difficult it was.
Yes. Yeah. I think it has to, doesn't it? Yeah. We found in with this one, it's all things we'd completely forgotten. I mean, the sleep, especially. I know it's boring to talk about sleep as a parent, but we'd forgotten how tough it is, you know?
Yeah. I said that completely, by the way, ignoring the fact that women have to actually give birth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's like, I was like, because you know, you can't sleep and you're like, can't get any work done, can you? They're like, I think Lily was probably referring more to the fact
that she went,
you have to like do this horrendous thing of giving birth. She was probably thinking more that, if I'm honest. But,
yeah, you're like, I totally get it. Yeah, yeah. Same, same.
100%, Lily. It's been hell, to be honest. It's been so hard. But yeah, great. So, George, a couple of things I want to talk to you about, if that's all right. So what our new format we're trying now, I've changed the format, I think, since I've done 12, this is the 14th episode, I think there's been about 7 formats I've tried so far. I cannot stick to one. But we're going to do 3 episodes where me and Jamie chat about a thing that's been affecting me or bothering me. And then at the end, we get on someone I love passionately. And discuss, or someone I respect, someone who's,
or you know just someone you've met a couple of times,
or just whoever's up for doing it,
yeah.
Anyone basically, no, someone who like I feel like genuinely I go through life and I feel like I'm getting better, and it's all changed this year, honestly. Just I guess with the diagnosis and all that, and people, there's a lot of backlash to everyone getting neurodiverse diagnoses and stuff now, and everyone's like, you know, oh, they're just bloody lazy or whatever, but like I can't tell you how much it's changed my life. And I realized in terms of this, I keep bringing up The Traitors. Are you watching The Traitors, George?
I certainly am. Yeah,
it's incredible, isn't it? I haven't watched episode 9 yet, but
me neither. I'm with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, but you have seen episode 8?
I have.
Jamie, you haven't started it yet, have you?
Not at all, no. We've discussed this and I'm gonna binge this and then we're gonna talk about it.
Okay. It's incredible, but no spoilers. But obviously, I've been obsessed with Paul, right?
Yes.
And, as everyone has. But I actually messaged him today. I Instagrammed him because I got a bit, I was on my own in the hotel and I think I got a bit overexcited. And then I realized he's on Chatterbix and stuff. He does Chatterbix, which I've done, you know, Joe Wilkinson.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, oh, you know, I'll just say hello to him and stuff, you know. But I was saying how, and he got back, you know, and he was a lovely little chat. My wife was so excited. She keeps going, what did he say? What did Paul have to say? He's like become like a god. Do you know what I mean? He's like this legend. But I realized I said this to you, Jamie, because Jamie's working on this new show I'm doing, which is my sort of first stand up hour that I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And and there's a bit in it where I talk about, without going into the whole thing, but my dad and how he was the sort of neurotypical kind of person who dragged the rest of us along. And, you know, and I was trying to explain this bit where I say how he was dragging us along, trying to get us to a normal place. And then I sort of get to a conclusion, like maybe he didn't have to do that. Maybe he could have just sat down and asked us what was wrong. Do you know what I mean? But I was sort of improvising it to myself, trying to write it. And I was doing it for half an hour. I was like, this is amazing. This is really coming out really well. And I realized I was being Paul from The Traitors. I was literally talking and, you know, so if he could have just grabbed them boats and just pulled them in. You know, and just doing that kind of... So anyway, but I think as a neurodiverse person, that's something I do all the time, is just, I can't help it, you know, and I've tried to disrobe these characters. And then I just, I look at someone and it's not that I'm a best impressionist. I'm not into impressions really at all, but I just kind of find myself just taking them on. Do you know what I mean? And like,
yeah. Is that something that you, that's really interesting to, sorry to cut you up, but interesting to hear you say that, because that's something that we're always as, so for context as well, for the listener. So we have got, so we've got three kids, two kids are autistic, and but we're still very young, but our daughter especially, we find she, everything she seems to learn is just by mimicking, or just seeing something and then thinking, oh, that's the way I do that, I'll do it exactly like that. Mm-hmm. And that is, we're always in two minds of whether that's you know, a good thing, because she's learning to get by and she's learning these skills and she's, that's how she's navigating the world. But we're also thinking, don't be, you don't need to be someone else. You be you and you do your thing. And it's a real battle, because one, it obviously helps her get by in life and stuff, but we'd never want to get to the point where she's just being other people to exist in the world, because that's not what we want. But I mean, maybe, I don't know, the way that you're describing it there sounds like, wow, you've got this amazing skill where you could go and be that person to write, and then I can be this person to perform.
I'm not sure, to be honest, because especially with girls, there's the masking thing, isn't there?
Yeah.
So I think we're in the same place where my kids are similarly being assessed, but it sounds like it very similar level. And with my boy, it is much more clear and obvious and simple in a way. But with my daughter, it's much more hidden. And, you know, she has learned the way to be like other people. And I really don't know. And it is exhausting sometimes. And sometimes it just happens naturally without realizing it. And I guess it has helped me a lot. But then I guess I did come to a bit of a crisis point, which I'm sort of working out of now, where you're like, well, who am I then? Then it sounds very like, when I was with my mates, when we went to drama school and stuff, we used to joke about this whole, I even had this line in the show, I'm playing so many characters, I've forgotten who I am, you know, that kind of thing. But it really is, but it is actually like that, you know, it's not, and genuinely, I'm not saying I'm the best actor, because I really, weirdly, like with acting, I think there's two types of actors. There's ones who put it on, as I'm saying, this mimicry, this kind of, and then there's ones who are kind of just interesting as people, I think, or just very in touch with their emotions and able to like cry and whenever they talk about anything, it's fascinating because they're kind of fascinating. But I don't know, to be honest with you, because you also, I don't want to be going through life going, because then also I come to the show again and I'll be like, right, how do I pretend to be Paul out of The Traitors? And then I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing that? You know?
Yeah.
But I think there is this line where you're seeing all this world that it behaves a certain way, and you as a someone who just doesn't fit in the same way, you have to kind of have a bit of that, or pretend to be that, or do that. But it's not pretending in a kind of devious way. You know, it's just, you just have to put it on. So has she got to the point where does she get stressed if she's not like, how old is she, by the way, if I can?
Yeah. So she's only, my son's five, nearly six, and she's four, nearly five. So.
Right. Okay. So it's early days kind of thing. Yeah. But
it's really early days, but we noticed a huge difference since being in school. And a lot of it, and everything is a lot more rigid now, and a lot more, it's almost like she'll see a behavior and think that's the rule. That's how you behave in that situation. And if her or anyone else doesn't behave in that way, it causes, you know, huge stress and anxiety. It is so early as well. And every kid is learning different things as well. So there's that as well. You're still learning, you know, neurotypical kids are learning how to behave in certain. So you're constantly like questioning in which way to try and guide her and stuff like that. But I think the fact that we know very early is a good thing. And the fact that we, totally accept it and want to celebrate it and, you know, make her be as much herself as possible, I think is, you know, going to lead to something good. It's just day to day when you navigate it, you're like, should we be pushing her in that direction or should we?
And I think what's really unhelpful that with the backlash thing is this idea of parents trying to make their kids autistic or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Which some people think that's what you're doing. It's really fucking not. Do you know what I mean? Because you know, the journey I went on with my son initially was like, if you go through such a journey, because do you know what? I was for ages going, oh, but I'll never be able to like play football with him. And it'd just be like a normal dad and son playing football. And then I'm like, I don't like football. I've never played football. What am I doing?
From the traitors likes football.
Then, well, yeah, he does. He really loves it, doesn't he? Oh, that's going to be difficult when we meet up. And I'm going to approach that. I'll have to pretend I like it. No, but it's, I mean, the other thing is once you get the diagnosis, you see it in everyone and you're like, are you and your you and your wife, are you neurotypical as far as you know kind of thing? There's no like.
Yeah, as far as we know. So it's, my brother is autistic. Well, when he was younger, it was Asperger's that they said, but they don't use that anymore.
Yeah,
but,
because it was created by a Nazi.
Exactly, yeah. They're dropping all the Nazi stuff now. Which
I know.
I think it's a good
You can't say nothing nowadays, can you?
But he is. And then certainly recently you're looking at all of the family members and going, oh, yeah, of course. So there's more. I think I can safely say that there's more. But I think... me and my wife, I mean, as far as we can work out, we are neurotypical. What was my point then? I can't think what my point was.
I think I was just asking if you were.
Oh, right.
You've answered the question perfectly.
Yeah, the answer's yes.
In more ways than you realise. So what was the last thing I was going to say? Oh, yeah, so that was... the reason we really connected the other day, it was so lovely, George, when you messaged me on Instagram. And it's amazing how social media can be such a force of evil and then it can also be such a force of good. But where you said, because I put a little thing on, I wasn't sure I put it. Daniel, who does the music on this, I give him a little bit to do a bit of social media for me because I find it pays itself back, you know, because I find it just so... difficult. So I get him to do my kind of, you know, putting on old vids and all that kind of stuff. And I sort of told myself, I'm just gonna just put that out now and I'm not gonna do any kind of earnest posts or anything because I can totally fall into that, you know. But then I was just sat in the cinema and I just did a photo. I don't know why I did a photo of myself doing this smile. And I was like, she explains like my autistic smile. I said, my brother, who's no longer with us, had it. You know, he works in autism and he diagnosed himself before he died, you know, but just before he died. But it's the last thing he said. I'm autistic. But he definitely had it. And I see it in family members and everything. And I sort of put it out. I can't really say why I'm putting it out. Do that? I don't really know. But what was lovely was so many people got back, and it was lovely that lots of people got back. But quite a few people were like, "Oh no, you're all right. I've seen you smiling. You're okay." Do you know what I mean? And I was like, "But which is totally fine. I'm not having a go at them people saying that." I'm like, "Oh no, that's not the point I was trying to make." You know?
Yes.
You said, "Yep, I recognise that. I see it."
Yeah. Well, I'd said that to you, and then immediately I thought, "Oh God, have I said the right thing there?" I feel like I've gone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It felt like have a said too much I don't know if I'd said the right thing.
But you know what, I'm being annoyingly vague there as well, because I'm sort of like, am I saying I'm autistic? Am I saying, you know, I'm diagnosed with ADHD, but I'm pretty convinced I'm autistic. But it's like, in all honesty, I can't be bothered to get the diagnosis because it was such a fucking mission to get the first one. And it's like, but anyway, it's just really nice.
But I recognise. Really, so you'd done the smile, and I thought that is the exact smile that my brother has done all of his life. And my brother's always done that, and we never really thought that it was. We just thought that was how Dex smiled. But whereas now we've got our kids, and it's funny when we're trying to get them to pose for a photograph because that's the smile, and it's because they just can't. So every single photo we've got is that. Although the way we do it is we trick them into smiling at something else. And then we get that. But it's such we notice a lot more. There are a lot more traits now we've got the kids that you can then see in other people. I think when my brother was young, people didn't know half as much. And looking back now as well, I don't know if and this is still the way for some people, but I remember with my brother, it was always like, well, let's try and... No, I don't think anyone really said that, but the view was, let's try and make him normal, you know, let's try and get him to fit into normal. And that felt like the right thing, whereas now that feels like... that horrifies me that people would want to do that to my kids.
That's kind of...
I think that's great. Yeah. That's why it's that's why I think it's probably the best time ever to be neurodivergent, because you the world is going to hopefully, and I think it already is, then change into, instead of make these people fit into typical society, change society and get...
I mean, I think it depends on how much the authoritarian rise continues of like... All right, because if that happens, then I think we'll probably hide again. We'll probably
go the other way.
Oh no, I'm totally normal, mate. I'm just like you, honest. But the smile. No, that was it was a big joke. Did you not get it?
I can smile.
Look at that. I'm smiling. Actually, going back to Paul from the Traitors, I've realised the thing I'm doing on stage, which is quite a revelation, is smiling at people in a kind of like, which he does. Yeah. You know, he's telling them something, he's like, because that's what I thought. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's sort of doing that smile. And it's quite good from the stage because the audience kind of go, yeah, all right, yeah, we agree. This match. Anyway, so, but yeah, there is something sad that for neurodiverse people, I guess. I don't think it's sad, but just thinking about it in that way that we have to literally almost, even our smiles aren't our own in some way. Because people are right. I do smile all the time, you know, because I do have happiness. It's not that autistic or whatever people don't have happiness.
Yeah.
It just, when you smile at a time and place you're meant to smile, I guess you just have to put on this kind of, is the smile, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. But maybe everyone's doing that. I don't know. Anyway, so George, we've only got you for another 15 minutes. I'm having a lovely time already. I really am. Poor old Jamie's barely had a chance to speak.
Sorry, Jamie.
He's body doubling with me, aren't you, buddy? He's my. It's like bringing your mum. It's like bringing your mum, you know, to a show.
I've been making an omelette, actually.
Have you? How's it going?
It's not bad.
How many eggs did you put? Bit of mushroom, bit of cheese.
No, just three. I'm not made of money. Mushrooms, three eggs, and cheese.
Oh God, no, just three eggs. It's actually just three eggs. It's not even an omelette.
Yeah,
very basic omelette. Thought you'd burn out, mate.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So what the point is Jamie, if you could perhaps take us through the last three episodes, because I've forgotten everything we talked about. We'll do them one at a time and just say what we were talking about. And we could pose a question to George from that, perhaps, and see if he can explain to me how to live my life.
Luckily, I do have that. So
he writes things down and everything. He's like,
I've got it written down. Indecipherable handwriting, but yeah, write them down. We did an episode on gratitude, and why it's important. Can you remember the things that you said about that?
I guess the simplest question around that is I've only kind of discovered the idea of gratitude. And partly through sort of meditation, all this stuff and all these kind of things and everything and having kids and all that stuff. And I realized I literally didn't grow up with it as a concept.
Mm.
But not that I was spoiled, although as I said in the thing, I was probably definitely more spoiled than my older brothers, but I was the youngest. But you know, not like I was like Veruca Salt or whatever. Do you know? It's not like I just want everything. And I don't. I'm never going to say thank you. It's not that. It just didn't, as a feeling, you know, in the way hate is a feeling or anger is a feeling or all that. I couldn't understand how you felt it until recently, and it came more from literally gratitude for my family, for being alive, trees, stuff like that. You know.
Yeah.
But did you? Can you say that you understood it? I guess did you?
I think I think that's probably something that maybe I felt or have felt like I've felt for a lot longer than maybe you'd expect. I don't know why. I think I've always done this thing. My wife and anyone I told always used to think it's really strange thing to do. But I've since actually read about it, and I think it's something that like Stoics, it's like an old Stoic technique. But basically I will close my eyes, and so say I'm lying in bed and I'm a bit bored or whatever, I'll close my eyes and picture that I haven't got a bed and I'm locked out and I'm in the street and it's raining and I'm praying that I could only have a bed to lie on. And then I suddenly go, bam, magic, yeah. And I'm just like, oh man, I love this bed. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's like
a lovely way to do it.
It's maybe an example, that's like an obvious example, but I tried to do that in other things. Like if I'm going to a gig, like I've got a gig tonight that I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be a bit of a crap gig, this.
Yeah.
And as I'm driving there, I think, okay, well, you're not a comedian anymore. You've just got, you know, your 9-to-5 job. You've got to do that at the weekend. And you've not really got anything going on in your life that you enjoy that much. And no more risks. You're not taking any more risks and you're not doing anything creative. And then suddenly go, oh, no, I really would love that chance to be, and then suddenly, bam, I am doing it. And it's just like tricking myself into feeling grateful. But also as well, like there's a couple of things that, and you know, things happen to everyone in their life, but you know, if people have like died in your life when you're younger, or if you've had like near death things, I had a near death thing once and I thought, wow, everything after that is just complete bonus. So I often think that, and you're reminded of it all the time when terrible things happen. But I usually try and take out of that and think, wow, imagine if that had have happened to me, or if I was that person, I would be praying to have this, what I've got right now. So I do try and remind myself of that all the time.
That's really nice.
I think that's what generally makes me continue to be like quite happy about things, because I think, bloody hell, I am lucky, you know.
Did you have that instilled in you as a kid, do you think? Or is that
something? No, I don't think anyone ever mentioned that. Right. Not at all.
Because in a way, what you're saying is not a million miles away. It's a much nicer way to put it, but it's not a million miles away from the thing of like, eat your dinner. There's some people are starving. Do you know what I mean? People in Africa got any food, that which I grew up with.
Which is still true.
You know, and it is, but that's a more personal and intimate way to think of it. I think it's the Marcus Aurelius thing, isn't it? It's the Stoic thing. He said, imagine you've died and your life's already over. Now just live from there. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Well, I probably have read that phrase. I couldn't have quoted it like that, but yeah, that's exactly it. That's it. It feels like everything, that you've summed that up brilliantly. Well, Marcus Aurelius.
Marcus did it first. And he put it even better than that, to be honest.
But that exactly is, if you think that, wow, all of this is a bonus and all of it is fleeting, like.
Yeah.
So I always think that as well. I remind myself, it's so easy in life to think, oh, if I do this, then I'll be happy. Or if I get that thing, then I'll be happy. And that, I think if you think like that, it doesn't really ever come. I think, wow, imagine if I can make today, if I can be happy today and tomorrow, make my life right now make me feel happy, then you've won. You'd 100%. Never have to get, you know, that's all, you've completely beat the game then.
Especially in the arts, because you know, you're constantly thinking in the arts as they are, you know. In the arts. But, you know, you're constantly thinking, am I doing as well as that person? Am I, you know. Yeah. Should I be further on? I feel like I should be further on. I've done all this work, you know, everyone thinks I'm good. Why am I not fucking blah, 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 you know? But I mean, on one level, I've met people who have made it, and they're not always they're often significantly less happier than I am, I'd say.
Yeah.
And, so that's a real revelation, especially when you're in your 40s and you've got kids or whatever, and you're like, I need to be happy now because, I mean, just to sort of, we need to ask the next question, but just to bring my brother back for a sec. So, he actually nearly died. He'd been ill for a long time with kidney stuff. He's always had stuff and he had a kidney transplant. And then he nearly died. And we sort of literally said our goodbyes to him, literally on life support. Yeah. And then the next day just got better, just started getting better. It was really, and they didn't know why. And they said, like, when it gets to a intensive care unit point, literally they have no idea why some people live and some people don't. There's no reason for it. And this is doctors talking, you know. What a bloody doctor's no way. And then he did die 5 years later of a different thing. But I mean, it was a case of the original thing, you know, knackered his immune system. So, you know, they are related, but it wasn't the same thing. But in those 5 years before that, you know, I always got on with him, but in a way, but I never really liked him that much, if I'm brutally honest. He could be quite odd and quite, I think he'd learn as an autistic person, maybe learn weird things or ways. Right. Do you know what I mean? Mannerisms that could be quite unpleasant sometimes. And it was like he had that moment. And then those 5 years, he was just this walking on air and just so happy and living his life. And when he died, it was like, even though I was very sad, and he became my best friend in those 5 years. It was so
weird.
I never had been really before. And helped me with loads of this kind of stuff, you know, and literally paid for like my first Anna show, like gave me some money towards accommodation, all that stuff. Sort of skint at the time, you know, it was brilliant. Yeah. And, but when he died, even though it's so sad, you know, and I was very sad and I miss him still, but it's still, I was like, oh, there's nothing needs to be said.
Yeah.
Now there's nothing missing because you fixed it. You made for yourself. Do you know what I mean? You made it. Those last 5 years were worth, you know, 80 years of someone else's life away.
That's amazing, man.
Anyway.
That's so good. Yeah. That's such a nice. Yeah.
Even because the thing is, like, everyone, when you bring up death, everyone's like, oh, no, you know, which understandable, you know, is very sad. But it's like, it's going to happen to all of us. So, like, in a way, it's good to talk about it. And it, because there are, like, weirdly, that's a happy story in a weird way.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely. Well, that thing that you just described is exactly what, if he had have died that first time, those 5 years are what you'd pray for. I mean, you wouldn't even dare to dream that big, would you? But you'd imagine that if I could have 5 years where suddenly I get the brother that I always wanted and he gets the relationship with me that he always wanted. I mean, it's just perfect. Yeah.
I think with his kids and everything as well, you know, who are now in their 20s, you know, he was like a different dad in those 5 years, and not that he was a bad dad before that, but he was, you know, he was just really there for them and really helping them. And it was really sweet, you know. Anyway, as always, I've got 6 minutes. 6 minutes left to do two questions. What's this?
So ironically, the next one was about derailments and distractions and focus.
So to put it in a nutshell, I was having a day where I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I had it all planned out. And then a friend of mine spoke to me and completely innocently, but said how... this thing he'd heard sounded a lot like my character, Anna Man, and it really derailed my whole day. And I was like, why did you say that? What am I meant to do with it? So, but I did various nice things. And what I described in the episode, it was like the end of Avengers Endgame where the portals opened. I just opened the portals and let through certain good things. And I eventually did get back on track. But do you find something can derail your day that easy, and how do you get back to it?
Completely. That is the example. That's the most relatable thing. The thing that you just said, that happens to me a lot. Someone might say something, and especially as well, you know, when you're doing like the jobs we do and you sort of put yourself out there a little bit sometimes, you feel a bit vulnerable and someone might say something. You think, oh, and then I find that I did something recently and someone said to me, oh, it was a good start. And to me, that was like they'd gone, not bad, a lot of room for improvement. And then I just had this thing in my, and I was just in this bad mood all day, and I felt something in my stomach all day. And I thought, what's bothering me today? What's bothering me? And it was that thing. And it was like, you know, it was just in a message. It could have meant anything. I remember I told my wife about it. She was like, yeah, that's fine. That's a perfectly fine thing to say. They've said something nice. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, but I find that I carry it especially with stuff like that, it's, I don't think I'm thick-skinned at all. So it's hard not to let that derail you, because you get to the end of the day and you think, oh, I've had a crap day today. And you think, well, I haven't really. I just felt that thing about that thing. And it's completely...
Yeah. It's the rest of the day was totally normal. I just had that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that just sort of like realizing that you're in control of about the way you feel about something. You can't really control what other people say or what they might mean. But often I find if you think of a million examples in your head of the things you've said or things that might be taken the wrong way, it almost certainly the person saying something means something different to the person understanding it. And I think as long as you can just disconnect yourself from that a little bit and accept that, I think that's the way of doing it. But it's hard. It's so hard.
I've started now, when I think I've done something like that, I just immediately text the person.
I was just about to say, so
when I said that, you know, yeah, so I got Jamie.
The next episode was about friendships. And I was just going to say, I remember when we were working on Death of Anna Mann, you'd done something, you performed it for me on Skype, and I said something like, you know, the building blocks are there, or it's all coming together. And I think, and because we were friends and I know you, as soon as I put the phone down, I then sent you a message saying, I've just realized that's absolutely the wrong thing to say. What I meant by that was, so, you know,
yeah.
Friendships are important because you learn the rules of combat.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, on the opposite side of that, sometimes you do have to listen to those voices. Because, for example, in my shows, I always get, like with Death Phantom Man, I always get to a point where I'm like, brilliant, it's done, no one say anything, it's finished. And then like my producer, particularly Owen, he'll go, yeah, it's getting there, it's getting there. You know, he'll say something, I'm like, what do you fucking mean, it's done? And then he'll but he's always right. You know what I mean? He always has a thought. Yeah. That then leads to like a much better ending or whatever, you know?
Yeah, totally right. And you'll probably find maybe a month or so later, you can go, oh God, yeah, I needed that. He had to say that to me and I had to
100%.
Feel those things and then make it better. And we're in a better place now. But in the moment, it's really hard to...
Horrific. You're just learning...
Deal with your emotions, yeah.
You're just starting to learn the boundaries, I think. Over years, you just go, okay, that person is worth... Even if it hurts... Listen, that person, bless them, they don't know what they're on about.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Don't worry about them.
Yeah.
Great. So, George, we've got to let you go, man. You got something to do. We're a minute off. It's been lovely.
Yeah, it's really nice to chat.
Thanks
nice.
So much, mate. It's really, really, genuinely, keep doing what you're doing, because it's very helpful. Not that you need my help, but where can we find you, George, at the minute? What you're up to briefly?
I put everything, my main channel doing everything is through Instagram, which is George Lewis Comp, but that is where I advertise shows and stuff. I'm working on like an hour show at the moment, so I'm just about to start next week and start work in progress
Edinburgh,
and hopefully tour next year. I'm going to do a bit of Edinburgh, but that is well, that's something that I find I don't like going up there for the whole month. I find it so so much pressure, but also with the kids and stuff like that, it's almost it's financially reckless to go up there. So I think go up there for a short while while it's still a work in progress show, and then tour it in the autumn. I'm trying to get the show together now, and I've got your first work in progress is next week, and I'm
Try and see one, man. I'll throw in some, be like, yeah, there's some potential there.
Yeah, yeah, the building blocks are there.
Keep trying, keep trying. You've got something, keep digging, you'll find it. maybe we could do a double bill one day, George. That'd be nice.
That'd be lovely.
Double
that'd
up.
Be so nice.
I want to do that just so I can see you.
yeah, me too, man. That'd be great. Well, I was hoping when we were mentioning this, I was thinking, oh, because sometimes where you are at the moment in Cardiff, sometimes you find yourself, because you're there's a similar break between it, isn't it? So sometimes you find yourself back there with the same group of comedians, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
maybe we'd
that'd be nice
again there, but
that slightly awkward green room where you all sit there waiting for your dinner. It's really weird, but lovely. All right, lovely.
All right, mate, well, I'll see you soon,
George.
Definitely.
Great to see you, man. I'll let you go. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, nice one. Bye, Jamie.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, man.
He's gone.
Gone.
It's just us, Jamie.
Just us.
Well, that was a lovely chat.
Yes.
If a little rushed. Sorry I didn't let you speak at all.
That's quite all right. The sound of my voice is largely overrated.
Genuinely, you know, for the first time, they talk a lot about, we'll keep all this in because this is the ending, by the way. But yeah, they talk a lot about body doubling. And I've been trying that quite a lot. I try it with my wife. It sounds like a weird Kama Sutra act.
But I was going to say, can you explain what that is before we start to form mental
body
pictures?
Doubling? It's a sexual act where you get them to pretend you. No. What would be? I wonder if people ever do that where they pretend to be each other whilst making love. Does that appeal to you? It doesn't appeal to me. I think it does, but I haven't tried it. I don't know.
What if one of you's bluffing and they're actually thinking about themselves? It ends up just one person getting two lots of attention.
Oh, well, I'm thinking, okay, this is a real head fuck, isn't it? they're doing an impression of you.
Yes.
Making love.
That's quite good.
You're doing an impression of them.
Yes. Are you thinking about somebody else? Yes, but it's you.
You're not thinking of someone else. You're being them. What if you wore masks of each? This is not what I wanted.
Well, funnily enough.
It is what I wanted. I want more of this in the show. But Bobby doubling is where you double up with Bobby Brown, bless him. Now, body doubling. I'm so tired, Jamie. I'm so tired. Body doubling is... God, I was on the gig last night. I was getting all sorts of words wrong. You know, I say about him from Nottingham. It wasn't easy growing up in Nottingham being called Colin. And I literally said it wasn't easy growing up in Colin being called Nottingham. Like, it was that bad. Anyway, body doubling is where you do it. It helps particularly, I think, with ADHD. It, but maybe autism as well. I don't know. Any of us as oddballs. But it helps... You're in the room with someone else and they're working at the same time, even if they're not necessarily doing what you're doing. It's not that you're working on a project together, but they're just in the room and it just helps you get it done because someone else is.
Right.
I mean, that wasn't what we were doing because you were a part of this, but even though obviously because we were so pushed for time and you didn't really get much chance to speak, but I was aware that you weren't that bothered. Quiet.
No, I was making my omelette. So
yeah, no, fine. I got that. And also, it was lovely just having you there, you know?
I was ready to step in if it went wrong, you know?
Because George can really, you've got to watch him. He's like a pit.
The wheel.
You could tell.
Wheels come off, you know, you've got to step in suddenly.
You've got to be ready to fight back because he will
throw myself in front of a Zoom call for you.
Oh, but yeah, lovely chap, isn't he?
Yes.
Had a lot of interesting points there to make. I'd like to get him on again and talk more with
him. I mean, I did my research, obviously, and found out that he had two children. He managed to have one, you know, during the episode, possibly.
In that time.
Yeah.
Impressive. What a little happy rabbit. Happy bunny, isn't he?
Body tripling.
Well, I don't think we have to say much more on that, do we? Is there anything we need to tell these lovely listeners before we go? Don't forget to go on iamcolinholt.com for all my upcoming gigs. Support us on patreon.com/colinholt, please. And please leave a review and like, because I still haven't got any new ones. It's been a while.
Can't stay in travel lodges forever.
But I'm having a lot of fun. Watch The Traitors. It's great. Maybe we'll get Paul from The Traitors on here. Don't know.
I'll have to watch it by that point, I imagine.
This podcast will be very low on his PR's list.
Do you think?
He's the hot ticket right now. Everyone wants a piece of pull from The Traitors. I know I do. I'm not in love with him. It's not an actual... I don't really want to be him. Because really you want to be Harry. We'll watch it and you'll understand.
Yeah, I'll understand. It will really give context to all of these random names.
Yeah. All right, well, let's end it there, and then we'll go back and do the beginning.
Okay, Luke.
It's going to be weird for everyone. All right, thank you for listening, everyone, and thank you, George. And don't forget to do all those things we just asked you to do. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Sort your brain out. Baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. And let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out, lady, sort your brain out. crazy, sort your brain out. Don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, mate.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.